We're celebrating bald eagles on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. And why are we doing it? Well, I'll tell you why. Because Sauk City and Prairie du Sac hold the 24th annual Bald Eagle Watching Days this weekend, Friday night, January 14th, Saturday the 15th, Sunday the 16th. Lots of events going on in association with it. So the perfect time to talk about bald eagles and to talk about bald eagle watching days. Two guests who come back every year to talk with us about it. Jeb Barzin of the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council. Jeb, great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
And Randy Jurowitz. Randy is retired now, an endangered resources biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, but he still plays a mentoring role and a volunteer role with the DNR. And Randy, it's great to have you back as well.
Thank you very much.
You guys are eagle fanatics. No, no, you're not eagle fanatics. You're eagle fans for sure. And I tell you what, we have a lot of eagles to be fans about.
It's a great success story. Eagles were on an endangered species list, and they've, as recently as 15 years ago, and they have now been removed from that because their population is doing so well, and they grace our state both in winter and summer.
August 2007, they were removed from the federal list, and we have nearly 1,200 active nests in the state.
That's amazing.
And many of those stick around in winter, like some of the rest of us, and winter along the major rivers that are open in winter.
Well, the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, did it form sort of in response to the growing number, or has it been around for a long time, Jeb?
Well, both are really true. Ferry Bluff Eagle Council started as a chapter of Eagle Valley environmentalists, and so they go back all the way into the 70s.
Okay.
And but we incorporated as a group because Eagle Valley environmentalists disbanded, and we kept going, so we formed ourselves as Ferry Bluff Eagle Council in about 1988. And the concentration of eagles in the Sauk Prairie area has been something that's kept us interested for a long time.
And oh, sure.
If you look at some of the old pictures and some of the venues of Sauk Prairie, you can see lots of old pictures. And you can see things like Eagle Inn. But this is a picture from 1900. And so eagles, I think, have been a part of the Sauk Prairie community for really quite some time.
It's great. And this is a great event and a great way to bring people together to see those eagles, Jeb.
It's a wonderful opportunity because, you know, they're really quite spectacular. You look at an eagle and they're the kind of species in the state where people, regardless of their background or interests, they'll look at that bird and they'll say, wow. And that's a cornerstone of conservation, because when you get a wow, you can actually begin to work together.
And there are pretty good reasons for the concentration of eagles, if I'm not mistaken, in that particular area at this time of the year.
Well, yes. And special thanks goes out to the Alliant Hydroelectric Dam that's there that keeps the water open.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the main things where they're finding food at this time of year. But then also the bluffs mm-hmm. on the east side of the river provide an area for the birds to get to roost in, to sleep
mm-hmm,
in
mm-hmm.
at night, and get in out of the wind. So it's a real great combination of having the kitchen and dining room right next to the bedroom, and it keeps them here in Wisconsin.
Well, we have callers online who have questions for you. Let me give you the number to call if you'd like to join in. If you have a question about eagle watching days, or if you have a question or comment about eagles, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. And we have Michael from Blair, Wisconsin, up first. Now let's see if I can get Michael on. Hi, Michael. Thanks.
Well, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Hi, Randy.
Good morning, Mike.
Yeah, I'm calling. My students and I, we're on the west side of the state, over by the Trempealeau area. And I wrote a grant last spring, and it got accepted this fall, so we installed a camera 4 feet above a local bald eagle's nest.
Very cool.
And I incorporated a lot of the local businesses in the area to help out with it. And then my kids in the behind the scenes created the actual web page. And I wanted to report that last Friday they were actively in the nest with a red squirrel that had thought it was a playground. And they came back to let it know it was not. So they've been in the nest off and on since Friday, and we actually got to see both of them this morning when the kids came into the classroom. So I wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. That is neat. That's a great project.
Oh, it's a wonderful project.
And you should give the I've been on your website, by the way.
Okay.
You should give the website. It's a simple one.
Yeah. Yes, it's Eagles, plural, for the number 4, kids.com. And my students are the ones that actually came up with that name. So this has been a third and fourth grade generated from the get-go.
Oh, that's wonderful. Jeb, you were going to make a comment.
Well, it's a great opportunity to learn about the birds, and you're already learning some things that I think might surprise people, that these are territorial birds. They're obviously not trying to breed now, and yet they're at their nest.
Right.
And so it's likely, though we don't know for sure, because we haven't really banded a lot of adults when they're on their breeding areas, on their breeding territories, and then subsequently watched what they do. But it's likely that these are the local breeding pair. They're maintaining their nest. Mm-hmm. And as the eagle population grows, they might also be maintaining their turf, because the available eagle territories in the state, at least in some parts of the state, might be declining. Not declining in terms of losing territories, but if you're an eagle out there and wanting to breed and you're looking for a place to set up shop, there are fewer and fewer areas that might be available for you, because there are
more and more eagles.
More and more eagles. And so some of the behavior that you see around the nest can be maintaining that territory and maintaining their opportunity to breed in the subsequent spring. Doesn't guarantee that they'll use that particular nest next spring. They might shift to a different spot but still be in the same territory.
Okay. Yeah, that was one of my questions I had for you, Randy. When we installed the camera, they weren't real happy with us, but since then they've been back, and they've been in the area within 100 yards of that nest pretty much constantly. And we were wondering, and they've raised eaglets the last 6 years in that nest, too, each year. So we were just wondering, you know, the chances of them coming back, what are they?
Randy, what do you think?
97%.
Okay.
Yeah. We've had nesting pairs come back year after year for decades.
Okay.
Here in Wisconsin. And as long as they're both alive, they will probably both come back.
Okay.
And since they've been successful, that almost guarantees it.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, they were in the morning. They're in the nest this morning, too. So those are good signs, I guess.
Oh, that's great. So it's eaglesforkids.com.
.com. Please check it out.
And that's the number 4, eaglesforkids, not .com.
Yes.
All right. Michael,
congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Randy, one more quick question. When do you expect them to lay the eggs about?
Jeb, what do you think?
Trumpolo, they might be on eggs by the end of February.
Okay, and we were thinking February, and I need to know a little bit more closer. So the end of February, okay.
Yeah.
They start early.
Okay, wonderful.
All right, thanks a lot.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Thanks for calling. Randy,
in addition to watching eagles on his webpage, if people do come to, you know, the Sauk Prairie area, they can come both Friday night. Because Friday night there's going to be a live Birds of Prey show. And,
oh, very cool.
If people don't want to brave the weather, we will show them eagles indoors as well as outdoors. So that starts Friday night at 7 o'clock at the River Arts Center. And that show is brought to you by the Raptor Center. And then it'll also be repeated twice on Saturday. So people can come and see eagles indoors very comfortably if they come out.
And if they want to get out and brave the elements a little bit, it's pretty easy to do that, too, because I know you have tours. You take people in buses and so forth, I think, right? Two good spots to visit.
There are bus tours just about every hour during the day. There are attendants at an overlook where eagles should be in pretty good view. There's also lots of other activities going on kind of throughout the community. You know, one thing what Michael mentioned, I think, is really kind of fun, because it's in parallel with Eagle Days as a whole. You know, he said that he's got students involved. He got a grant, presumably from the DNR, or at least
probably.
I'm not sure where he got the grant from. And they were also working with local businesses. And Eagle Days is basically reflects that same sort of collaboration, which is the Bureau of Endangered Resources from the Department of Natural Resources, Ferry Bluff Eagle Council, which is a private, you know, group of local citizens, and then the Sauk Prairie Chamber of Commerce. You know, they all kind of put Eagle Days on together, and it's that collaboration that makes projects like Viewing Eagle Nests and projects like Eagle Days really kind of fun, because it's the kind of collaboration that should be going on.
And there's a dozen different local businesses and the Alliant Energy Foundation who give us grants to put this on, and that allows us to have the bus tours, David Stokes humorous / educational talk, and the Live Birds of Prey show, all for free.
Yeah,
so that's the other thing about this, is that it is a free event.
Yeah, and that's a very good thing to remind people of. Man, what? It'll cost you a little gas to drive over there, and maybe you buy a sandwich or something while you're there, because I'm sure there's plenty of food and all that available.
Kiwanis have a pancake breakfast and a chili lunch right there at the school. All of the restaurants gear up for the weekend.
If I remember right, Larry, you're partial to the wine sipping at Willersheim Winery. Yeah. I think you mentioned that before.
Yes. Oh, man. Karen in Minocqua has a comment or a question. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I have a question. We're fortunate to live on a small lake that has a nesting pair of eagles, and we watch the chicks as they take their first flights. But my question is, and it's partially answered, is when do they lay their eggs? How long do they incubate? Because we don't either hear or see the chicks till June, thereabouts, and wondering if you could shed any light on when that whole process starts.
Well, remember that you're in Minocqua, so you're in the northern part of the state, and the earlier caller was in Trumpolo, which is southwest part of the state. And so the nesting phenology varies greatly from your two areas. And so I don't know for sure, but I would guess that in Minocqua, it might be 2 to 3 weeks later, maybe even a full month later, that your eagles would be laying eggs in Minocqua compared to Trumpolo. So I would look for eggs no earlier than mid-March, and possibly towards the end of March. In the incubation period, people who have access to information, which I cannot remember because I never can remember, the incubation period is roughly, it should be roughly between 25 and 30 days, but I can't remember exactly what the number is. And so you would expect to see the young hatch out a month later, but you typically won't see the young in the nest for another couple weeks after that, because they grow. It's only when they're bigger that you tend to see them. And so that would explain the lag between when the birds look like they're on their nests and when you actually see the young.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thanks a lot for, appreciate your call. Talking today about bald eagles in Wisconsin and eagle watching days this weekend, Friday night, Saturday, all day Saturday and Sunday at Sauk City in Prairie du Sac.
Not Sunday.
Why did I say Sunday?
We had to cut back.
We have
had it on.
It used to be on Sunday.
Yes, it was. And we get people that do show up on Sunday and say, hey, where is everything? And we said, hey, listen, it's a tough economy. Again, we're trying to still keep the show alive, but we did have to cut back on Sunday. It's just Friday night and Saturday.
All right. Well, we'll be repeating that several times over the course of the show so that people understand it's Friday night and all day Saturday.
Those are the official activities. But you might be shocked at this. The Eagles tend to be there every day of the week. And so the community's welcoming you at any time to be watching Eagles. And on the weekends, there's attendance both days at the Overlook and things like that.
Yeah. So if people can't make it out this weekend, there are. And as a matter of fact, there's even bus tours leaving at the Cedarbury Inn on other weekends.
Okay.
It's just this weekend they will be leaving from the River Arts Center on the hour 9, 10, 11, 12, and 1.
12 and 1. Randy Jerwitz and Jeb Barzin, our guests, as we talk bald eagles in Wisconsin here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Larry Mueller. Rachel Owens, our on-air producer here on the Ideas Net. We'll take your questions about bald eagle watching days or just about bald eagles in general at 1-800-642-1234 or shoot us an email at talk@wpr.org. Bill emailed in and wondered if any rehabilitated eagles would be released this year, as it sometimes has been in past years.
Yeah, we've had that event. It's been hugely successful. It's one of those things where you got to make cuts, and we've kind of got out of that.
Okay.
That system, working with Marge Gibson at her center up in Antigo, and concentrated more on the indoor activities at the River Arts Center, the kids' activities, the free face painting, informational lectures about eagles in Wisconsin, the Live Birds of Prey show, and the humorous/educational presentation by David Stokes about habitat. Everybody has to have a habitat. So those are the things that we're doing at the River Arts Center, and we will not be releasing a rehabilitated eagle this year.
So there are Marge Gibson, and there's several other rehabilitators in the area that do rehabilitation for eagles. They tend to post when they do the releases locally. Mm-hmm. Marge, I believe, does have a website.
Yeah,
if people are interested in looking that up, it's the Raptor Education Group Incorporated, Reggie. And I don't know the website number, but if you Googled that
Marge
name,
Gibson.
I'm sure you'd find it.
Yeah, you'd come to it for sure. Well, Richard in Barnes, Wisconsin, has a comment or question. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Larry and Jess. I was lucky enough a few years ago to I was delivering mail on Highway 27, and out of the corner of my eye, I caught a couple eagles with their talons locked together, and they're coming down like a helicopter.
Yeah.
And at the time, I didn't know that was mating behavior, but they went. I was at a spot where the surrounding area was swampy, so it was below the roadbed. So they went out of my sight below the roadbed, and I thought they were committing suicide. So I climbed down that bank. I never did find them, but I learned afterwards it was a mating behavior.
You learned the right thing, didn't he, Jeb?
Yeah, it's actually, I don't want to be too overly specific on a wonderful observation. It's a courtship behavior. They're not actually mating or copulating at that time, but it is a courtship behavior, and you describe it perfectly. They'll lock talons, and they'll do a free-for-all. And who knows? They might even think, my God, am I committing suicide here as they're falling through the air? Because it's got to be hard for a bird to tumble down, but they do exactly that. They break before they hit the ground and swoop up.
Their wings were half-cupped.
Coming
down just like a helicopter would.
Yeah.
I felt pretty lucky to see that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you are. I've been watching eagles for 25 years in this area, and I've never seen them lock talons.
Oh.
And so it is an unusual thing to see. It's more easy to see in the springtime than it is in the winter, but it does occur in the winter. And it's just wonderful to have that opportunity.
Yeah. Thanks, Richard.
Thank you.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to John in Rhinelander next. John, hi.
Hi. I have a problem up at our cabin. We have a floating loon nest in front of our cabin, and every year the loons have babies, and the end of June or the end of May or beginning of June, the eagle comes and kills the baby loons and eats them. Is there anything we can do to keep the eagle off the loon nest?
No. Keep the eagle off the loon nest. That's probably a pretty hard thing to do, Randy Jerwitz.
It is pretty tough. I don't know how many dozens, if not hundreds, of phone calls I've handled over the years about people complaining about sharp-shinned hawks and Cooper's hawks eating birds off their bird feeder. And I'd usually say, ma'am, I guess most of them are women, you're feeding the birds. You're feeding all the birds. You're feeding some of the birds bird seed. You're feeding some of the birds other birds. But you're feeding the birds, and that's nature. You know, that is nature. I know it's a kind of a tough situation, but you're dealing with a predatory bird, and they have to eat too, and their young have to eat.
There's really nothing you can do about it.
There is not. There is not. The loon population in Wisconsin, fortunately, is doing quite well, as are the eagles, and they've evolved together, and not all the loon chicks all the time get eaten by eagles because, we keep having loons in the state. It's kind of a tough situation, but that is the nature. You don't have to turn on the TV to see it. It's right there in front of you.
Yeah, I think we had a just in our lawn, as a matter of fact, last Sunday, there was a broad-billed hawk, I think it was a broad-billed, came at least, I couldn't tell. It was because it was in the shadows, but what kind of hawk it was. But it had taken a sparrow off our feeder and sat down and ate it. Yep. And it was in the shadows, and that's the way life works.
Well, yeah, and feeders are kind of a artificial way of concentrating prey species. The bird feeder, those loon platforms work great, especially on flowages where they've got fluctuating water levels. They're very necessary, but it does perhaps make those loon chicks a little more vulnerable because the eagle can see that loon platform every day. And,
might be the same eagle every year, too.
Quite possibly. And they look over there and say, well, let's see. Are they plump enough today? Are they big enough today? No, we'll wait till a few more days. Oh, now they're big enough and they eat them. So it's kind of a combination of having the loon platform being very, very productive. On the other hand, pretty conspicuous.
Thanks, John. Mark in Green Bay. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. There's no such thing as a broad-billed hawk. There's a broad-winged hawk.
Broad-winged hawk. There we go. Sorry. I meant to say broad-wing.
Yeah, I'm interested in hunting eagles. Now that they're delisted, it seems like they're taking really lots of the top-end game fish, just like the cormorants and some of the other birds are. So I was wondering, how soon do you think we'll be able to start hunting them?
I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Not by the hair of my chinny-chin-chin. No, there's certain things out there that are just sacrosanct. They're just sacred. There is the possibility now that they're federally delisted for some to be more flexible with things like highway construction and bridge construction and those types of things that might impact the eagle population through the destruction of a nest tree or nesting habitat under permit. However, the actual killing of them
would not going to happen.
Never be allowed.
I think you might be surprised sometimes. It's fairly normal for people to assume that there's a when the birds are taking a game fish, for example, that it's an additive mortality. The degree to which, though, that actually occurs is not in the way that people think about it. The basic principle of hunting is that when you take individuals out of a population, if you're taking individuals out of a population that essentially would die anyways, you're not harming the population. It's kind of based on, that's what hunting principles are built on. So when eagles are taking game fish or any kind of fish species out of the water, whether or not that mortality is additive, is not as clear as it seems by just seeing the act of that occurring. And you might be interested, there's several studies that have been done on bird predation of fish in fish ponds, for example. And a classic example are herons in feeding on fish ponds. And a lot of fish owners used to hate the herons because they would say exactly as they would conclude exactly as you're concluding that the heron taking the fish is loss on their economic bottom line. But when you actually looked at it much more carefully, the herons were doing a good thing because the herons weren't taking live, healthy fish. They were taking fish that tended to have that were sick. And they would float or not float, or even when they were alive, they would be swimming more at the surface. So they're much more vulnerable. And what the fish farmers began to learn is that the herons were an early warning system for when they had a disease problem in their fish populations. And so once they started seeing herons, they would start to test their fish for disease, correct the disease problem, and they wouldn't have, the herons wouldn't hang out there anymore, and then they would leave. And so what you see at face value doesn't always tend to pan out in terms of what's actually happening, because this is an ecological system. It's an interaction between predators and prey and various things like that. And so you might find, be surprised if you look into it more, that eagles aren't necessarily having a negative impact on game fish, for example. And so it's kind of a fun world out there when you really start looking more carefully.
I think I can safely say there will never be a hunting season on eagles. And I think my my guests are agreeing with me on that. Ray in Manitouish Waters, let's go to you. Hi, Ray.
Hi.
And what's on your mind?
Well, I used to have a huge eagle's nest right outside my window, and we watched the eagles nest there every year. Only 1 year out of the last 10, they had a brood. They actually had three of them that grew up. But they always came to that nest. And this last big wind we had, it knocked the whole top of the tree down. Just the nest is completely gone. And I know they've got a smaller second nest off our point. Is there a chance that they'll rebuild this nest? I heard once that the female eagle is more loyal to the nest than she is to her mate. And if she can't find a mate, she'll take the next guy down the line because she wants somebody helping her with that nest. I wonder if you know about that.
Well, we don't know that much about eagle pairing behavior because we haven't done a very good job at marking them in such a way that we can learn that sort of behavior. But I would be willing to bet that as we mark the birds more, we would find a lot more dynamic nature in pairs. We found that with cranes, who are also known for forming long-term nest bonds. And in my real job at the International Crane Foundation, this is something that we study, and we find that there's a great deal of shifting amongst mates and things like that when we have marked individuals. So it's quite likely that both the male and the female are paired together, but it's also likely that they're paired to that territory, and it's very difficult to discern what they really want, the territory or the pair, because they both mean the same thing.
Yeah.
The opportunity to breed. And so we don't know, you know, honestly, for eagles, but both could be happening. As to whether or not they're going to rebuild their nest there, it depends on whether the structure of the tree is sufficient that they could actually build the nest again in that particular area. And eagles will move their nest from in different places in the territory, so that even though there's a very, very, very high, I think Randy was quoted at 97%, we'll hold you to that, Randy. there's a very, very high chance that the birds will come back to that nesting territory. They can frequently move from one nest to another within that territory.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And those nests, we've talked about this in the past, those nests can get over time really big because they kind of add to them every year, don't they?
Yeah, they do. And the good news for eagles is that they tend to nest in live trees just down from the crown, in the so they're not right at the very tip top, which is another part about this nest tree blowing down. If the whole top broke off, then it becomes more like osprey habitat. Osprey like to nest on the very top. Eagles like a little bit of cover over their nest. But as such, they do come back and add to it year after year after year. They can have several alternative nests within their territory, kind of insurance, I guess, for when one does blow down, they have an alternative that they can switch over to, which they probably will do in this case. But they can be huge structures.
Yeah, they can be
measured in tons, not pounds.
Yeah, I was going to say measured in tons, actually. We have Brad in Dubuque, Iowa, who emailed in and wonders or says, We get eagles by the Dubuque Lock and Dam every winter, but they leave in the warmer months. Where do they go, and where do they nest? That's Dubuque, Iowa area.
Well, there's two ways of answering it. There's the eagles that are in Dubuque. Where eagles will spend their winter can be a very dynamic thing, so that we know that our eagles, the eagles that winter in the Sauk Prairie area, when it gets really cold, they actually can shift downriver to Dubuque and even further downriver than that. So some of the Sauk Prairie eagles might go down to Dubuque. When it warms up a little bit in the winter, they might shift back up to Sauk City or even go further north, so that there can be a lot of movement of the birds in the larger part of the upper Midwest along these river systems. The birds that are spending the winter and then where do they go in the warmer months, meaning the summer, they could breed in that area. We don't really know if the birds that nest locally stay all year long. The observations from Michael at the beginning of the program and from other people who have watched nests really carefully, it sure seems like the breeding pair, if they have the chance, will stay all year long. But we really don't know that with actual banding data. So they might breed in the area, but they'll separate out into smaller breeding territories. Or birds in the Dubuque area, they could go as far north as Manitoba or the low Arctic area in Hudson's Bay and breed there and just about everywhere in between.
One thing we do know is that wherever they're wintering, they are a good number of them, nearly 1,200 pairs, are scattering throughout Wisconsin. Kind of looking at a map here, almost every county in the entire state has at least one eagle pair in it right now, which is
phenomenal.
There's just a few counties in the far southeast corner of the state that don't have any eagle nests in them, but from Grant County, Greene County, you know, all the way up to Florence, Vilas, Oneida County, there are eagle nesting all over the state.
And where is, which county has the most, or which counties?
Well,
there are a couple up there.
Yeah, the top two are always Vilas and Oneida counties.
Okay.
The amount of lakes that they have up there, the habitat, and that is the core. Vilas, 147 last year. Oneida County, 126. Just west of there into Sawyer County, 57 nesting pairs. Washburn County, 47. Burnett, 59 nesting pairs. So that upper tier of counties is still the highest concentration.
Sure.
But the exciting part is that, you know, we have nests now in Washera County, in Marquette County, in Green Lake County, as well as...
even Dane, I think there's three or four nests in Dane, aren't
three
there?
Three in Dane, two in Jefferson, two in Waukesha. So we have nesting pairs. The great part of the Eagle Weekends, both the one coming up in the Sauk Prairie area and the ones, by the way, in Cassville and Prairie du Chien, are that it's a great chance for people to see eagles, to see a lot of eagles in a way that doesn't disturb them, whereas mm-hmm. you know, sneaking up on the nest could be kind of risky. But this way they get to see eagles, guaranteed almost to see eagles. Well, absolutely, positively guaranteed to see eagles, because we'll take them to the River Arts Center and show them one, you know, up close and personal. But guaranteed to see eagles in the wild, you know, in a wintering situation.
So we have, let's go back to the schedule for the Friday and Saturday events and locations and so forth. So Friday night at 7 o'clock, you've got the Live Birds of Prey show, Raptors in Wisconsin, and that's at the Raptor Center?
No, the Raptor Center is putting it on.
Oh, the Raptor Center is putting it on. I'm sorry, yeah.
It's at the River Arts Center, which is adjacent to the high school. Just get into Sauk City, turn north on Water Street, take it up to Grand Avenue, turn left. There'll be signs, that big white signs that say Eagle information with an arrow. Can't miss it.
Okay, so that's Friday night at 7. That's free. Saturday from pretty much 8 o'clock in the morning on, isn't it?
8 o'clock till 4 o'clock, or pardon me, 3 o'clock. 8 o'clock till 3 o'clock, there will be shows, presentations, kids' activities. Again, live Birds of Prey show at 11 to 12, and once again from 2 to 3, so it's scattered throughout the day. Bus tours, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 1. Free bus tours where we will take people. You don't have to drive around. Just find the high school in town, and we will take you out to see eagles.
Yeah.
About we did our last coordinated count of eagles wintering in the Sauk Prairie area a week and a half ago, mm-hmm. 10 days ago, and we counted 180 eagles in our area, and fortunately, many of them are concentrated in the what we call the upriver part of our area, which is the Sauk Prairie area. So the viewing for this Eagle Days event, as long as the weather doesn't change radically between now and then, the viewing for eagles should be spectacular. Should be very, very good Eagle Days.
So bring your binoculars. If you got
bring
them.
Your binoculars. Bring some warm clothes, because if you're out bird watching, eagle watching in the wintertime, it does get cold. But it's a lot of fun.
Oh, it is! It is a lot of fun, and there's always the pancake breakfast and the chili lunch to look forward to as well, and the fine restaurants in the area.
And there's an awful lot of hot cocoa around town.
That's this weekend, Friday night. Couple nights from now, today's Wednesday. Yeah, it's couple more nights, and you'll have a chance to participate in Bald Eagle Watching Days. It's the 24th, 24 years. Oh my goodness!
And you all should know that Randy Jurewicz, our stunning guest here, has been involved in Eagle Days, in the creation of Eagle Days, and he's been involved in all 24 of those Eagle Days.
Oh man. I can give him a hand on that.
Thanks,
one.
On that embarrassing note.
Thanks, guys. Thank you so much for being with us today and for all your work with Bald Eagle Watching Days. Appreciate it. Jeb Barzin is with the Ferry Bluff Eagle Council in Sauk City. Randy Jurewicz is retired now, but he's still mentoring and volunteering. He's an endangered resources biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Great to have them with us today. And if you can get out there this weekend, we're planning on coming. So we'll be out there. Renee and Emily and I will be out there on Saturday. And hopefully we'll see a few. We got a couple pairs of three pairs of binoculars. So we're all set to go. And we will. Coming up, we are going to take a look at the ABCs of CSAs. How about that? Next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.